Welcome back, guys, to Unlocked. Today is January 24th. The only reason I say the date, I mean, I never do, but the only reason I'm saying it now is to kind of give you a little bit of a time frame of where I'm at in life. Last week was the toughest week, I think, of my life, and it's been hard. It's been hard to understand, process, and also help two kids process what's going on in our life. On the 17th, that was, so exactly a week from today, that was the report date for my parents. And never in a million years did I think I would be talking about both of my parents, one of my parents, let alone both of them entering into a federal prison. There's been a lot of tears shed, a lot of anger, a lot of screaming, a lot of just completely being broken to my core. But I've had to figure out how to rebuild, and I feel like we're getting there at least a little bit. Seeing my parents this past weekend definitely gave me a sense of hope and peace. And it's weird. It's weird to say, oh, going to, you know, a prison camp, that gave me peace. But one thing that I will say is I've never felt the presence of Jesus more than I did in that room. And to me, that it was such an overwhelming feeling. And who would have ever thought? Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, everyone thinks of Jesus as this, you know, just perfect. He's going to go to the perfect people, and you have to only be worthy of his love. You have to be perfect in order to gain acceptance. And that is so far from the truth, because I'm sitting there in a room with my dad and all these other men, and I've never felt the presence of Jesus more. And that truly, like, even talking about it makes me so happy, because the people in there, they are so misunderstood. So misunderstood. And I hope that this podcast will maybe soften your hearts and soften your judgments about tough situations and situations that you may not understand or that you luckily haven't had to go through. Because, again, all these people are so misunderstood. And I guess I'll start out with just the day that we dropped my parents off. You know, that was really tough. Like, just saying goodbye to them from home and knowing that was the last time they potentially would be in the world, like the free world, for God only knows how long. We are filing the appeal, and that will happen in mid-February. And I'm putting my faith in our attorneys and God, and knowing that God's plan is far greater than any plan we could ever hope for ourselves. I do want to correct something that I said in a previous podcast about talking about how our system has failed us and how the government can be so corrupt. I still believe that to an extent, but I think what I want to correct is our government in its entirety is not broken or corrupt. There are sections of our government there are people in our government that are broken and corrupt, and they have made a bad name for everyone, which is difficult, because through this process, I will say I have met some really awesome people within the realm of the government who have been kind, who have been courteous, who have been empathetic. So for that, I'm grateful. And not everyone is bad. So now, you know, I just wanted to correct that because there's a lot of things that come out of my mouth from hurt and anger. And then I sit on it and I'm like, you know what? I could have said that a little differently. And so I could have said what I said a little differently. And now I am correcting that because I do put my faith in this appeals circuit to do the right thing, to review all the evidence, to review all the court documents, because you will see Fourth Amendment violations as clear as day. You will see where a Georgia Department of Revenue agent went in and illegally seized a warehouse with a warrant that was never even signed by a judge. You will see an IRS agent lying on the stand. There are so many things that if the public would do their research, go to and access the court documents, the transcripts, and read them word for word, it would help to broaden your knowledge on this case, on this topic, and it would teach you to not listen to these trash box tabloids. I mean, that's, and I'm not even going to say the names of them because all that's going to do is give them more publicity. But do your research, know your facts, and then make a educated decision about what your beliefs are. But I will say that we're doing okay. We're doing okay. It's tough. It's tough when your norm is no longer your norm. What I've known for 25 years, my parents are gone. And it's tough. My dad's my absolute best friend. And I don't just get to pick up the phone and call him. I don't get to send him funny texts when something bad, like when something like stupid or bad happens in my life. I find myself going to pick up my phone and text him or call him, and I realize he's not going to get it. And that's what I mean by, like, it feels like a slow death because in a way it is grief because I'm grieving my normal. I'm grieving the loss of my parents and what I know. Take all the money away. I don't give a crap about any of that. Take it all away. If I can just have my parents back, that's literally all that matters. And I'm definitely put in a really unique situation right now because I'm helping to guide Chloe and Grayson through this process. And I'm having to guide them through this process as I'm trying to guide myself through this process, which is very, very difficult. And trying to stand strong and not break and be strong for them so that they feel comfortable enough to break down. And it's tough. Grayson is 16 years old. There's so much growth going on with him right now. And it breaks my heart to know that my parents are missing out on that. Last night, Gray had a breakdown and he's trying to process seeing my parents and the situation that they're in and how that's not the image that he wants to have of them. And Chloe, at 10 years old, is trying to process them being gone and missing her mom. And we were driving down the road the other day, and Chloe had so much anger towards the situation, and she just said, why? They're not bad people. They don't belong there. Why? And I told her, I said, you know what? I'm trying every single day to get mom and dad home. I'm working with the legal teams. I'm making, I'm reaching out to anyone that I can possibly reach out to help me. I am humbling myself and saying, hey, like, I need help. I need some guidance. I need some advice. Can you please, please help me? And I told her, I said, Sassy's trying everything that she can possibly do to get them home. I just need you to be patient with me. And she looks out the window and she looked out the window. She looked back at me and she said, cool, that's great. But guess what? They're not home. And for me, I was just trying my hardest to not break down and cry. And I told her, I said, you know what we need to do? We need to pray to God and ask Him to take our anger away and help us to deal with our sadness a little better. And she looked at me with tears just rolling down her face and said, guess what? I pray all the time. I pray for mom and dad to get home. I pray all day. And guess what, Sassy? Nothing happens. It doesn't work. And when a 10-year-old says that to you, how do you respond? Because there are times where I feel that way too. I feel that I pray and pray and pray, and I'm waiting for a miracle to happen that just doesn't happen. And then that night, I got Chloe home, got her in bed. I was trying to find her the proper clothes for visitation. I was trying to find her hair stuff, and I just felt so defeated from that day. I just felt like, you know what? I don't feel adequate enough for this job. I am not my mother, which I wish I was, because she is the kindest, most loving, most amazing human being I've ever met. And I've always said if I could just be half of her, I would be okay. And I guess in moments like these, I realize that I'm more like my mom than I realize, because I'm getting through it. I find the strength to get through it, to do it. And when I was emailing Dad, I kind of just, that night when I laid down in bed, I was like, it's been a crappy day. These are the things that happen. I miss you so much. I had to try to explain to a 10-year-old why to continue to pray even when you feel like it's not working. And Dad's email to me was, good morning, my beauty. How did you sleep? I told you that you were going to miss all my great content via Instagram. Guess I was right again. Y'all, he would send me a gazillion in one Instagram video. It was literally like 20, 30. Like, and I'm like, dude, I'm not watching all these. Like, I can't. Like, I've got a full day. Like, I'm not going to sit here and watch Instagram. And now I find myself really, really missing pulling up my Instagram and seeing 30 stupid videos that you would send. And I guess that would be a good thing for me to tell you guys that I'm learning. The things that I griped about and that I thought were annoying, I'm missing so deeply right now. So next time you find yourself flying off at one of your kids or flying off at your parents, grandparents, friends, just take a deep breath and think, what if they were gone tomorrow? Would this really be a big deal? Would I really be annoyed by it? Because that's a lesson that I'm learning. So back to the email. I told you that you were going to miss all my great content via Instagram. Guess I was right again. I want you to give yourself some grace. Fall in love with the real Savannah, the one that I raised that radiates a room with her kindness and compassion, not the one the world wants to see. Remember, to gain the world and lose your soul, then what do you have? God is our constant. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Sometimes when we pray, we become discouraged and angered because God didn't do what we wanted. But remember, at times when we don't see our prayers being answered, it's because what we prayed for wasn't enough, and what God wants us to have is better than what we've asked for, or what we have prayed for isn't ready to be delivered because He's training us up for something better that's coming, that we haven't earned yet or are not ready to truly appreciate how powerful our God is. All glory goes to God. I can't wait to tell you about my dream the second night I was here and how so many folks here are misunderstood. Just know that what you and I spoke about prior to me coming here is going to be our godly mission for this country and will be our legacy. I've never been more proud of you and the young woman you're becoming. You've been cast in the fire, and what God burns off will allow you to shine brighter than gold. Please tell my sweet Chloe how much I love her, and always remind Grayson that he is my heart and soul. I look forward to chatting face to face and getting all up in your personal business when I see you tomorrow. Travel safe, my sweet angel, and your dad loves you to the moon and back. Love, Dad. And that right there, reading that email, like, that's who my dad is. And the fact that he's sitting in a prison camp, he's still finding the love of God all around him. And he's digging deep in his faith, and he's finding hope. He's finding peace. After visiting with him, I got to hear about all the people that are in there and how misunderstood they are and the conversations that he's had with them. And I believe that God put him there to truly make a difference. And he is working in the chapel, which is absolutely amazing. And I could never be more proud of my dad and the man that he is. I get to hear all these people's stories and how he's affecting their life and encouraging change, and just all the people that are coming to know Jesus in that place is absolutely amazing. So that puts me at peace. It lets me know that they are okay. You know, this isn't the ideal situation, but we find strength in knowing that this isn't the end. We find strength in knowing that there is fight, that there's a plan of action in place. So for that, I'm grateful. So Dad, he's doing pretty good. There's days that are tough. Their struggles, we talk to him, we email him. We get to see him. So for that, I am forever grateful, because there are so many people that don't get to see their loved ones, that are in different facilities, that are maybe in maximum security prisons, that don't get visitors, that have to say hello through a piece of glass. That's not us. So for that, I'm grateful. I will say that my mom, she's honestly, she's doing really well. And I know it sounds crazy for me to say that. Like, it sounds crazy for me to say, all right, they're doing really well. But they are. My mom, she's made friends. She's keeping busy. She's going to church. She's going to church. She's working. She's playing some spades. And when I tell you playing, she is running a dog on everyone. So anyone that knows my family knows that, like, spades is our game. It's what we play. It's just our thing. And two, the only reason I am picking up my phone right now is because I am checking to make sure that Grayson has not called or texted. So I just want to say my new norm is making sure I have my phone to make sure that he is safe. But anyone that knows my family knows that spades is our thing. It gets real tense. We may start an argument here or there over it. So it's just, it makes my heart happy to know that my parents are okay. I do know that my mission is going to be to bring awareness to how broken our prison system is. How we have a system that does not encourage rehabilitation. It does not encourage growth. It doesn't encourage forgiveness. It just encourages really beating someone down further than they already are. And that's really, really sad. We also have a system that doesn't have the resources that it needs. Our incarceration rate continues to go up year by year by year. And the funding is non-existent. The more people we have, the more funding you would think would be given in order to give these people at least proper care. And that's not happening. It's really sad because you hear these people's stories. You hear these young men and women talk about how they grew up, how they were abused physically, emotionally, how they were neglected, how maybe some of them were even pimped out by their parents. There are so many gut-wrenching, heartbreaking stories of these young men and women that are sitting in there that had no guidance. They had no love. They don't remember the last time someone said, I love you. So when you go through those things, it's hard to come out on the other side. It's hard to not turn to drugs, alcohol. Sometimes all it would take is for someone to look at these young men and women and say, hey, I love you. I believe in you. You can be better. You are capable of being better. And sometimes that's all it would take. I want to talk about too the women and what they are provided and what they're given. The care that these women receive, you know, it changes from facility to facility. But I know a lot of women's facilities get just what's left over from the men's facilities. So you go in for visitation, vending machines are empty, but at the adjacent men's facility, they're full. And, you know, things that may be in women's commissary or that may be just tools that the facility needs in order to run, they're going to get what's left over from the men. And I don't think it should be choosing one over the other. I think that we should give equal care to all of these men and women. And yes, some of them have made mistakes. Some of them have regrets. There are some people in there that don't belong in there. It is so, so sad. But just because someone makes a mistake doesn't mean that there isn't hope, that there isn't redemption. We serve a God that is a forgiving God, that is an understanding God, that's a grace-filled God. And He'll leave the 99 to go to the one. And I think that's what we need to remember, is to put judgment aside. I am praying that they find some peace, that they find some forgiveness. when you follow Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior, there's so many, you know, we ask for forgiveness all the time. In order for us to get forgiveness, we must give it as well. And I think this whole process has taught me I will never, ever, ever judge a book by its cover ever again. Because I am guilty of seeing someone on the side of the street and being like, well, what the heck got them there? They don't have to be there if they don't want to be there. Not the truth. Looking at people, making judgments. Never will I ever do that again. Because again, I've seen how misunderstood these people are. A few things in the tabloids that have surfaced that are completely inaccurate. And it should be against the law for these tabloids to report inaccurate information. Like I said, complete trash boxes. Write whatever in the hell you want to write about me, but get your facts straight. If you're reporting facts, go for it. But I don't know how you live with yourself knowing that what you're writing is harming other people. What you're writing is not accurate. So first off, when it comes to my mother being in a medical facility, she's not in the medical facility. She is in a camp. So that is false. When it comes to where she's at and her hanging out with this cheer star, Jerry Harris, or whoever he is, completely inaccurate and false. If you know anything about our system, you know there is no commingling. There is no women and men together. That is not happening. At least I know in the camps, that is not happening. She is not commingling with this cheer star. She has not spoken to him. She has not seen him. So where did you get your information? I would love to know, because it's false. It's a lie. And stop trying to make a dollar off someone else's hardship. And that's why I come on my podcast and I tell the truth, because I'm not going to let any of you with these tabloids take our story and profit off of it. If anyone is going to profit off of our story, it's going to be us. So find something else to write about. Maybe pull out all your skeletons from your closet and see how they look on display. So at that point, find a new job. Find something that's actually fulfilling, that makes a difference in someone's life, instead of tearing people down. And I want to point out to the public how these tabloids do. Them taking photos of my parents and editing them to have orange jumpsuits on. How pathetic do you have to be? There are minor children involved that have to see these things that are in magazines that pop up on the internet when they just go to search for something for school. We can't escape it. So at least if we're going to have to read about something, make it the truth. I also want to talk about these reporters. And I don't even want to give them the title of a reporter, because you're really just a stalker. Before my parents left, they had to go to an appointment. And there was paparazzi following them from their neighborhood to their appointment. Therefore, they get on the interstate to try to lose the two guys, and they chase them at 100 miles an hour down the interstate. Literally one to the side of them, one trying to cut them off in the front so they could get a picture through the windshield, one trying to get them from the side to try to get them to see where they're going, following them the whole entire way until finally my parents lose them and go to the police station and file a report, talk to an officer. That is not okay. The moment, you're going to write your stories regardless of whether they're true or false. But chasing people down the interstate and down roads at 100 miles an hour is not okay. The fact that they had to run every single red light, they're on the phone with the police and the police tell them to run the red lights if they can. That's not okay. So if anything, stop doing it. Have some grace, some mercy, some understanding, and realize that they are human beings. And like I said, these people in the system, so many of them are so misunderstood. So stop treating people like animals and treat them like human beings. I was so ready to go off on that tangent on the tabloids. You have no idea. No idea. Makes me feel so much better because I want the truth out there. I want you guys to know who my parents are, just the type of people they are, the hearts that they have, and that not everything you read is the truth. I mean, heck, they can't even get the locations correct. You think they can get intricate details correct? So just keep that in mind next time you go to click and pay these tabloids to read their trash box articles. That's all I gotta say. Moving on from there, I also wanna give a huge, huge thank you and appreciation to all the people who have stood by us, who have supported my family, who have given grace, understanding, and just love to me, my siblings, my grandparents. It goes a really, really long way. And to the people that listen to my podcast who are going through something similar or who have dealt with this system, who have dealt with a family member being incarcerated, I just want you to know that I see you. I see you. I feel you. I know the hurt. I'm going to try to be a voice to stand up for what's right, to treat humanity with respect and just common decency. I will tell you one thing I was not prepared for, that I wish, there's so many things that I wish someone could have prepared me for going into this, but you don't know until you've been through it. And I will say there have been people who have reached out to me through social media who have been through what I'm going through. And that's been a game changer for me. It's given me perspective, some understanding of the ins and outs of the system and how I need to navigate them. So for those people that have reached out to me that have been through this, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of you, I've been able to navigate this process a little easier. And for those that don't know how to navigate it, please reach out to me. Please send an email, send me a direct message. Maybe we'll even try to figure out a way for you to call and leave a voicemail and ask questions, and I'll answer them the next podcast. But for me, the biggest, I think, punch in the gut since my parents have been gone is receiving two boxes of their clothes that they wore there. I got home and from visiting them and I had two boxes sitting there. And it was, reading the label on it, it was the most gut-wrenching thing because I wasn't ready for that. I haven't opened the boxes yet. I have them sitting in my bedroom floor and I just look at them when I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night. I just look at them and I know there will be a day to where I find the courage and strength and healing to open them. I think part of me doesn't want to open them because I know that it smells like my parents and I want that to stay there for as long as it can. I was not prepared for that. So that's kind of been the latest thing that I'm working through, trying to figure out, like, what do I do here? And no, I'm not ready to open them. I don't want to get rid of them, so they're going to sit there. I sleep with my mom's blanket every night. So many things I do to keep them here. I am getting meal plans together every Sunday for the kids to cook every night. So it keeps my mom alive in here. That's what she did. She cooked every single night. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to have the most normal life for me and the kids that I possibly can have, because they deserve that. My parents deserve that. And I will step up in any which way I have to step up. So I hope and pray that you guys will understand this process and understand what we're going through, and all the emails that we have back and forth, I'm printing out so that we have them one day with whatever we decide to do with it, whether it's a documentary, a book, a show. We're going to do something life-changing with it. I know this isn't the end of our story. I know that God is more present today than he ever has been. And even though things don't look how I would like them to look, I know that they don't look that way because they're going to look even better in the future. So I just hope and pray that there is peace, love, understanding with everyone involved. And I will keep you updated as I can. I will share little things with you and, you know, just stories. Like, I will get permission from my parents before I tell them. But there's funny things that have happened that have given us all a good laugh, that, you know, friends that they've made. It just brings me a lot of peace. It brings me a lot of peace knowing that they're okay, that they have a sense of unity. They have some friends. It makes it easier. It makes the time go by quicker. And for anyone that wants to send a little piece of love and encouragement to my parents, you can do that. You can send it. You can send letters to where they're at. Just make them positive. Give them hope. Give them hope for the future. And also, another thing before I sign off, I just want to say to you guys is that they are allowed to communicate through email. So they are going to be emailing back and forth with each other. They didn't get to right off the bat, but they are now. And that makes me so, so happy. I spoke to my dad on the phone and he just had tears rolling down his eyes because he got the approval to email my mom. And the amount of love between the two of them and respect, it's just amazing to watch as their daughter. It's sad that we have a system that is not only going to break families apart, break lives apart, but also to, you know, break a marriage apart by not allowing them to speak on the phone or, but you know what? They get to email. So for that, that's a win. That is God working. That's a good day. So I can't wait when all this is said and done with to see the emails between the two of them, the love that they share, the hope that they find in each other, and the hope that they find in fighting for each other. That gives me hope to see that. And we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. It's going to be a long road. There's going to be lots of therapy, lots of fights, lots of all the things. But we're going to be okay. And Chloe has asked multiple times to be on my podcast, and I'm going to let her do it. But until next time, I love you guys. Mom or dad is calling me now, so I've got to answer it. But I love you guys. I get to hear their voice, so I'm happy. Thank you.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Hey, Friday Night Lights fans. It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond is an episode-by-episode discussion of the hit TV series Friday Night Lights, hosted by yours truly, Scott Porter, who played Jason Street on the show, and my two wonderful co-hosts.
Me, Zach Guilford, a.k.a. Matt Saracen.
And me, Mae Whitman, a.k.a. someone who wasn't on the show, but really, really loves it a lot.
We will also bring on some special guests, answer your questions, and tell you about what's going on in our lives today.
It's Not Only Football. Friday Night Lights and Beyond is available now wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose!